Our scripture this morning comes from Luke, the 15th chapter. The scribes and the Pharisees have been grumbling, and Jesus does not directly address their complaint. Instead, he tells three stories about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. We're going to read the first two of Jesus' stories here in Luke 15, beginning at verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us to find you and your will for us in these pages of these parables of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm not an investment manager, so I'm not sure that I'm looking at this story properly, but as I read the story of the lost coin and the lost sheep, I have to wonder about return on equity and God's economic policies. Let's just start with the sheep herding business. There are 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away. Now, the sheep make a profit on milk, meat, and wool. And so you need your actual sheep in order to do that. To make a profit, and you need a shepherd, because the shepherd's going to keep the sheep together, and it's a hard job because they've got 100 different noses heading off in 100 different directions, so the shepherd is herding them and trying to help them find grass. And the grass in Israel, where Jesus is telling the story, is not like a beautiful green pasture where we have cattle in Florida. It's not flat, and it's not green. It's a rocky hillside, and there's a blade of grass here and a bunch of rocks and a little green shoot over here and a bunch of rocks and a big old thorn bush here and another bunch of rocks. And the sheep have to go finding those little green shoots, and they've got to walk, and the shepherd's got to try to keep them together and try to keep a woolly sheep from getting tangled up in a thorn bush and stuck behind a rock or in a deep crevice or in some dark place or falling off of a cliff. It's a hard job keeping 100 sheep together. And Jesus tells a story. Which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and one of them wandered off and got lost, which one of you wouldn't leave all 99? And I'm saying me, because my investment is in that 99% of my capital. 1% lost, I could probably live with that and make it up with the profits. But if I go hunting down the one and I lose all 99 or half of those 99, I'm thinking that's not a risk worth taking economically. So I've got to wonder about the economic policies of heaven. There's something about Jesus' love for you and me when we are sheep that wander away and get ourselves in a deep, dark crevice, or we get ourselves tangled up in a thorn bush, and the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus, comes looking for us. There's something that we're supposed to learn about God and how he loves us. There's a second story that follows this one. And it's about a woman who has 10 silver coins and she loses one of them in her house. So she lights this tiny little oil lamp, doesn't give off much light, but she's got this broom and she is thoroughly sweeping the corners of the house with her broom. She's getting under the table. And you know how sometimes when you're sweeping with a broom, if you sweep up a piece of metal, you can hear it before you see it, clink, clink, clink. And she reaches down and she picks up that one silver coin. And then she does something that I think is not financially feasible. She invites all her friends and neighbors to come to her house. She throws a party. I kind of think she may have spent more on the refreshments for the party than she did in the one little coin that she sold. And it makes me wonder, what's up with this, God? What is the economic strategy of God for lost sheep and lost coins? Because it seems to me that God lavishes his love upon us, that he would give anything to find us when we are the ones that are lost. And in fact, that's what the season of Lent is all about, because in Lent we journey with Jesus towards Jerusalem and towards the cross. We walk with Jesus towards his sacrifice, in which God gives his own son in order to reach out and connect with us and to love us and to save us from ourselves. God would do anything for you and for me, and he has in the sacrifice of Jesus' life on the cross. That's how lavish God's love is for us. That's how relentless God is in searching for us, in finding us, in connecting us with his love. I love on TV or in the newspaper or on social media when there are families, Navy families, having a reunion. I know you watch those too. They're just heartwarming. Usually there's a big crowd of families waiting as the sailors are returning, and sometimes they allow a mother holding a brand new baby to be up front because there's a sailor father getting off the ship who has never met that child. Maybe seen a picture, maybe had a video chat, but never held his own child in his arms yet. And I love those scenes when a mother gets off the ship or a father gets off the ship and you see these children running towards their parents, and the mother embraces the children she hasn't seen for months. The father picks up those children and hugs them and holds all of them in his arms at the same time. And what happens next? The children start to cry. It's a happy moment. But these children have been so brave without their father or without their mother for months. And today we have such wonderful technology. Sometimes they've been able to email, video chat. They might even have a little computer chip and a storybook that the parent who's away has recorded and read to them, and they can read that story every night and hear their parent's voice. Or they might have a teddy bear dressed up in a Navy uniform that they hug while they're going to sleep at night. But in that moment when the parent gets off the ship and they have this wonderful reunion and they're hugging each other and holding on to each other, you know in those tears the only thing that matters is love. And that's the way our Heavenly Father feels about us, about you. That connection, that embrace by Jesus of you. And if you have wandered off and gotten yourself stuck in the thorn bushes of life or the dark crevices of life, Jesus is hunting you down to throw his arms around you and embrace you. And somewhere in our church family, somewhere in our community, there's a couple who are at odds with each other, and they've forgotten how much they love each other. They're just annoying each other, and they need some help getting out of the impasse that they're in. And they've gotten themselves stuck in that thorn bush of relationship problems. Somewhere there's a family in our community or in our church family who is spending more money than they earn, and they're digging a deep hole, and they're feeling a sense of hopelessness about it. And maybe they need a class that we offer here at church. They need a way out. They need some light and hope. They need someone to love them through that. Somewhere there's an individual in our community or in our church family who's holding on to some resentments and bitternesses that are keeping that person from freedom that they can find through forgiveness. Somewhere there's a person in our church family or our community who's stuck in the thorn bush of addiction and is allowing that addiction to rob and steal and destroy their life. But we have a Jesus who relentlessly searches for his children, who wants nothing more than to throw his arms around them and embrace them and help them find the path towards abundant living and towards his holy purposes for their life, towards freedom from the things that are robbing them of life. That's how much God loves you. Now, we're in the middle of a big adventure. For 3 years, we've been planting relationships in St. John's County, and on Easter Sunday, we're going to launch worship at Freedom Crossing Academy. We'll have a 9 o'clock traditional service, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock contemporary service. So this morning, Jeff St. Clair, who will be the pastor of Longleaf, is gathering with some of the leadership team, and they're walking around Freedom Crossing Academy. They're praying. They're making some plans for their practice launch on the 14th and their actual launch on the 21st. And in just a few weeks, there are going to be some empty spots around you because we're sending 200 pioneers down to St. John's County. We need people who already love Jesus and already know how to make coffee and greet people and teach Sunday school. We need them to go down there and meet our new neighbors and invite them into relationship and help people that are caught in the brambles of life and the dark crevices of life to put their hand in Jesus' hand and trust Jesus. So there are going to be some empty spaces around you. And next Sunday, before they head off, we're going to have a prayer of commissioning. We're going to send them out. Now, I've been feeling this mixture this week of sadness and gratitude and pride. Sadness that there will be some people that I don't see every Sunday sitting where they usually sit here in the sanctuary or over in Connection in the worship center. But pride and that they are stepping out on faith and being pioneers and making it possible for us to meet new neighbors who right now don't have a relationship with Jesus or don't have a community of faith that they are being nurtured by and they are serving with. But looking for people that get caught in thorn bushes, looking for people that are stuck in dark places, that's not just a Longleaf church task. That's a Jesus task. And it's one that Jesus gives to all of us to seek and to save, to be friends to folks who are struggling. And so all of the places that you go, in the place where you work, in the place where you go to school, in the place of your neighborhood, there are people that you know who are not walking with God. And Jesus calls you and he calls me to reach out in friendship. Wherever people are struggling or wherever they're living their life without the hope and light of Jesus. And sometimes the most powerful thing you can do in somebody's life is to listen to them tell their story. And if they're struggling, to listen to them talk about their struggles and to ask them, would it be okay if I pray with you? You don't have to be a professional prayer person. Just be authentically who you are, and whatever words come out of your heart are going to be the right words because the Bible says every good prayer comes from God. And you're just reaching up to God to figure out what to say, what to pray, what to ask for that person. Or you might help them, might refer them to a counselor or to a medical doctor or to a financial planner or someplace where they can get help for whatever is difficult in their life right now. Jesus loves us so much, there's nothing he wouldn't do to connect with you and all of those people in our community who are not walking with Jesus. He would even give his life he has on the cross to embrace you in his love and eternal life. So I'm going to close with a prayer. And as I pray, there's going to be a place in this prayer where I'm going to pray for all of us who are disciples of Jesus to recommit our life to Jesus, to invite Jesus into our hearts again this morning. And if there's anybody here who has never opened the door of their heart and told Jesus about their failures and invited Jesus to come into their heart and take charge of their life, you'll recognize there's a place in the prayer I'm going to pray where you can do that silently in your heart. You can say those words along with me and invite Jesus into your heart today. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, we know you are the good shepherd. And we're so grateful that you come hunting us down and that we're tired, and when we're injured and when we're broken, you lift us up on your shoulders and you carry us home. And we're so grateful that there is a party in heaven every time you rescue us. And so, dear Jesus, we recommit ourselves today, wherever we are, however able we are or not, however influential we are or not, however wide our circle of friends or not, we commit ourselves to loving others in your name and to finding ways of reaching out in Christian friendship to people who need to walk with you. Come into our hearts and forgive us of our sins. And for anybody sitting here who is ready to take that first step, we pray these words too. Dear Jesus, forgive me of all of the wrong in my life. Wash my slate clean. Help me to open the door of my heart and to invite you in to take charge of my life, and help me to walk today and tomorrow and every tomorrow hand in hand with you, dear Jesus. It's in the name of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Will you stand as we sing together? In the peace and power of Jesus Christ, who relentlessly searches for you and who gives you and me the privilege of searching for others. For we are sent in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.